topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe, maybe you'd like to think about that. If you're a believer, he has said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted. Today I'm going to talk about the commandments and elaborate on what I had to say last week. And we'll talk about how judgment in this life works. The Almighty has said regarding his commandments that his commandments are the anchor for your emunah, your faith, your trust and belief. They are the measuring stick for all you do, think, say, and believe. Overview of tonight's presentation. I'm going to talk about who the commandments apply to, who the commandments do not apply to. We'll look at various considerations in response to feedback to last week's message. We'll look at an explanation of how judgment in this life works, and we'll look at some examples of how judgment in this life works. I apologize for my throat. I've got a bit of had an operation earlier in the week, and my throat's still a little bit raw. A friend intentionally, earnestly, and actively keeps all the commandments. Refer to the commandments tabs on the menu on the website for more information. By way of introduction, who am I? I'm 65 years old. I've spent 25 years actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. After a dramatic experience with him when he spoke to me audibly, and I knew without any doubt that he was real and that he existed. Enter Mission Ministries is my ministry, which I use for delivering my website, these messages, and soon to be physical books. This program, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, is intended to help those who are earnestly seeking to really get close to the Almighty, to do what's necessary to come to a deep relationship with Him. You can look at my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Some questions from last week's program. Would you go to judgment if you didn't believe? The answer is no. If you're an unbeliever, the judgment is that you will stay on earth until the end of the age, at which point Satan will be judged. And if Satan has won the contest, Satan will rule on earth together with all the spirits of unbelievers for eternity. And if Satan has lost the contest and there are still people who believe in the Almighty, then Satan and all those who follow him, including you, if you're an unbeliever when you die, will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where you will be consumed by fire. Next question. So you're saying you can't be in a relationship with a person who does not have the same beliefs? I'm not saying that you can't. You certainly can get into a relationship with somebody who does not have the same beliefs that you have. What I am saying is that if you are a committed believer, you should only get into a relationship with somebody who's also a committed believer. You could argue that on a more broad brush basis with regard to different religions, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty should only be in relationship in terms of marriage with somebody else who is also a deeply committed believer. And if you one of you is not, then you need to get out and get divorced. Next point, this seems like all old school beliefs, the world changed. Can we not assume that the Almighty would have wanted things to change as well? Absolutely not. The Almighty set these rules and these principles in place to guide humankind throughout the 7,000 years of creation. That's the basis of judgment. They're cast in stone. The Almighty gave these commandments to millions of people standing at the foot of the mountain in Sinai, and he wrote the commandments with his finger in two tablets of stone. And that speaks to the fact that these commandments will never change. So it's a lie of the devil that the Almighty would want to change these things. Next question, how can you have more than one wife? Well, it's quite simple, actually. You just take more than one wife. Whether you can get it to work is another matter, and we'll talk about that in a bit more detail later on. In practice, in most Western societies, it's almost impossible for one man to have more than one wife and for it to work in practice. The next point, are you saying a man owns a woman who he takes the virginity of? No, I'm certainly not saying that a man owns a woman under any circumstances whatsoever. Father intended men and women to operate in a partnership together. I am saying that a man and a woman become one flesh when they enter into a lifetime covenant when a man takes the virginity of a woman, and at that point he becomes responsible for that woman before the Almighty. You can't just go around having casual sex. It's absolutely out of the question. Specifically, if you're seeking to serve the Almighty. If you're not seeking to serve the Almighty, it really doesn't matter what you do. Next question, how do we know if we're serving Satan and not the Almighty? Well, that's what this series of radio programs is about. It's what my book is about, what my website is about. You will know if you're serving the Almighty, if you're really making an effort. And as you draw closer to him, read the documents that are mentioned at the end of this broadcast, download them, apply them, make a conscious decision to serve the Almighty. You can, by accident, serve Satan through use of the wrong names, etc. And my program here is intended to try and sensitize you to those things so that you don't fall into those traps. Next question, where do we get these commandments as you tell it? Well, the commandments that I've given you are contained in Exodus and Deuteronomy in the book called the Bible. They are fairly well known. The exact translations that I've given are what I've been shown over the years in serving the Almighty, and the interpretation is the interpretation that I've been given. In addition to all of those questions, I was met with quite a harsh reaction from somebody I know well and respect, and that highlighted a number of issues that I'm going to address later in this talk. So by way of introduction, the Almighty, Yah, the eternally self-existing, sees his commandments as an anchor. On the 7th of October 2014, he said to me, "My commandments are the anchor for your emunah, your faith, your trust and belief. They are the measuring stick for all you do, think, say or believe. If you anchor yourself on my commandments, you will not fall off the mountain. The minute you start to compromise relative to my commandments, you will start to slip and slide down the mountain." This is a reference to the mountain that is depicted in the visions of the book called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which I encourage you to obtain and read. There's a copy on my website under the Eternity menu item. "By commandments, I prefer," this is the Almighty speaking again, "by commandments, I refer not only to the so-called Ten Commandments, but also to my guiding principles and the ethos of serving me with integrity, grit, determination, character, and fortitude. Do all that you know to do and then stand and keep seeking deeper revelation. Every time you slip, it is an error, an indication of error or ignorance. Say again, a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively keeps all the commandments all the time, and if they do slip, they correct rapidly. I'd like to restate a point that I made in several of my earlier talks, and that is that grace was withdrawn for worship of the Bible and the wrong names on the 3rd of May 2003, when Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years. The basis of that is Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And I saw a messenger, that's an angel, coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. For this to happen, all the grace that had been extended up to this point for errors such as worship of the Bible, the wrong names, etc., had to be withdrawn. And we now operate under a completely new dispensation where there is no grace for error. And it's really important to understand that because it has a huge impact in what I've been saying about the commandments. I want to stress that the message tonight, and in fact my message generally, is only for committed believers who are intensely seeking to serve the Almighty and draw close to Him. If you're an unbeliever, this message, and in fact my entire message, is irrelevant unless you're considering the possibility that you may be mistaken and that there is a Creator and that it is His will for you to have a deep personal relationship with Him. It's really, really important to understand this. If you're an unbeliever and you really don't know whether the Almighty exists or you strongly do not believe that the Almighty exists, then the Ten Commandments are not for you. They're not intended for you, and they really, they don't have any relevance to you. And keeping them is a pretty pointless exercise if you're not serving the Almighty. The first commandment, as I said last week, is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you're not at some level trying to do that, it really doesn't matter whether you keep the commandments or not. So I want to say again, this message is irrelevant for those who do not believe that the Almighty exists. The Almighty is totally disinterested in what unbelievers do. They're serving Satan, and Satan will reward them for their sin. So I say again, this message is irrelevant for those who do not believe that the Almighty exists. The Almighty is totally disinterested in what unbelievers do. They're serving Satan, and Satan will reward them for their sin. So please don't get upset with me if you're an unbeliever that I'm in some way interfering with your pleasure in doing whatever it is that you do that I'm speaking against here. In fact, I would go so far to say that this message is of limited relevance to those who at some level believe but are making no active effort to serve the Almighty. If you're not consciously aware of the existence of the Almighty and you're not consciously making an effort to serve Him, then first of all, the forces of darkness are quite happy with your condition. They're probably going to leave you alone. And secondly, the level of your sin is cumulatively is so great that whether you keep these commandments or not is probably not such a big deal. What I'm speaking about here is of vital importance to somebody who is actively seeking to serve the Almighty. If you really have made a conscious quality decision to serve the Almighty, then you need to take this message very, very seriously. I had some pushback from my comments regarding contraception. I was told that millions of women would be offended with me because I was telling them that they couldn't use contraception. I just want to clarify that. There are contraceptives that prevent fertilization, such as sheaths or condoms, domes, contraceptive gels, and there are contraceptive pills that prevent ovulation. Those are entirely acceptable. What I was speaking about last week in the context of murder is contraception that prevents a fertilized ovum from implanting in the womb, and that is murder. The moment that a sperm fertilizes an egg, a spirit is allocated to that ovum. It is, in the sight of the Almighty, a human being. It has a spirit. It has its own future that it will walk as it grows. To prevent that ovum from implanting in the womb is to kill that human being that has just been created. It's murder. As I said before, this is relevant only if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you're probably not going to care about it. But if you're a believer and you really want to do what's right in the sight of the Almighty, then do not use abortive contraceptives. I'm talking here about intrauterine devices, abortive tablets, etc. Another area, women are forbidden to have more than one male sexual partner, and they're required to covenant with one man, or not covenant at all, not marry at all. Another man is only permitted in the event of divorce approved in the court of heaven. So you need to be very careful about who you have sexual intercourse with. Sexual intercourse is not a recreational activity that you can engage in whenever you like, with whoever you like, in any shape or form. Again, please understand, I'm speaking to believers here. People who are really committed to serving the Almighty. If you're not committed to serving the Almighty, then this really doesn't matter. It doesn't really make any difference. Divorce, there's a whole body of teaching on that, and I may talk at length on that on another program. But divorce is only granted by the Court of Heaven under very specific circumstances. There must be treachery. There must be breaking of covenant, breaking of promises, breaking of vows, very definite reasons why somebody would ask the Court of Heaven for a divorce and why that divorce would be granted. As evidence of this, women are born with the seal of virginity, the hymen. And that proves that they can only enter into covenant with one man. So it's written in Genesis that a man shall cleave, that is, cut, into his woman, and they shall become one flesh. And that's with the shedding of blood. Very important to understand this. We are so mistaken about what we believe about sex today. So yes, as a corollary to the previous point, men are permitted more than one female sexual partner, but they're required to cover them and care for them for the rest of their lives. So again, be careful who you couple with. And yes, another point that really needs to be addressed carefully is believers are required to only couple with other believers. If you're married to an unbeliever, the Almighty requires you to divorce them. Your body is the temple of the set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Almighty. And you're required to look after that temple. It's not comfortable for the Almighty to be in your body and for your body to be one with the body of an unbeliever who is serving Satan. If one of you came to belief when you were already married, that's a slightly different matter. But at the end of the day, if that relationship is getting in the way of your relationship with the Almighty will require you to divorce. It's really important to understand that divorce, while it's a big thing, and while the church teaches that the Almighty hates divorce, the Almighty hates believers being joined to unbelievers a lot more than he hates divorce. And again, what's written about the Almighty and divorce relates to a believer with a believer, so that the Almighty hates divorce between believers. He doesn't hate divorce when a believer is joined to an unbeliever and they need to separate. So one of the questions at the beginning of this program was that could a man have more than one wife? Yes, technically, and what you might call biblically, a man can have more than one wife. The Torah, the Jewish book, permits a man to have more than one wife. The Bible, the Christian book, permits a man to have more than one wife. The Quran, the Muslim book, permits a man to have more than one wife. Whether in practice today you can make that work is a whole different story. Certainly in Western society, and I'm talking Europe, the United States, and such like, the vast majority of women today cannot share their man. They just can't handle it. The way that we brought up speaks against it. It's probably not worth attempting it. You may find this shocking, but yes, women are permitted to have sex with other women in a committed lifetime relationship. And it's important to note that it's not possible for two women to form a full strength, one flesh bond. The issue with adultery is spirit-to-spirit ties between men, which defile the bloodline. It's not about something to do with what's nice and what's not nice about sexual conduct. So, yes, a woman can have sex with another woman, but it should be in a committed lifetime relationship. On a contrasting note, male-male sex carries a death penalty in the court of heaven, but again, only for believers. And if they're making an effort to serve the Almighty, they will turn from their sin in time. I came mentioned in the last program a man who was a believer who was actively is actively campaigning against male-male. In fact, he's campaigning against all forms of same-sex marriage and is coming against huge opposition, court cases, all sorts of things. The problem is he's trying to persuade unbelievers that they should comply with the terms of the Ten Commandments. If anyone was to actively campaign about the enforcement of any of the Ten Commandments on unbelievers, he probably produced the same result. So there's a big piece here about believers not forcing their beliefs onto unbelievers. The challenge today is just to exist as a believer, to live a life that's pleasing to the Almighty, to keep on the straight and narrow. In the previous generations, when the bulk of Western society were believers, the laws were different. The problem is now that almost no one truly has a relationship with the Almighty, so forcing one's beliefs onto unbelievers is futile. For the church to agree to male-male marriages is just not right. But then most of the church is not actually really serving Father if you look at these Ten Commandments. In considering everything that I've said in this presentation tonight and on this program since it started, it's a harsh reality that those who seek to turn people back to the Almighty will offend most people some of the time and many of the people most of the time. Important to recognize that Yeshua, Jesus, was sent to his death by believers who were offended by his words and deeds. Specifically, the religious leaders of his time, the high priests, were at the forefront of those calling for his death. It is commonplace when a prophet, spokesman or spokeswoman of Yah, or an emissary, an apostle, comes to the church with words of truth that he will be rejected because the church is always in such error. And this is just a manifestation of the fact that wherever people start serving the Almighty in some shape or form, the forces of darkness will come in and do everything possible to corrupt what they're doing and what they're believing. Hopefully, the points that I've just made have adequately clarified some of the points that were unclear in the presentation last week. If you're not clear on anything, please feel free to send me a question on this program on the W4CY website, and I will answer it in the next broadcast. I want to talk now a little bit more about how judgment in this life works. I spoke a couple of weeks ago on judgment in this life. And I would just like to elaborate on that a bit more. When we talk about judgment in this life, the essence of what we're talking about is that if you're a committed believer and you're in lack and you've had an accident or a series of accidents, or if your sincere prayers are not being answered, or if the answers to your prayers are being stolen away, or you've been robbed or burgled, or you are ill with illnesses which are not hereditary or the result of wrong behavior like smoking, etc., or there are other things wrong in your life, and you're not walking in prosperity and health, then understanding judgment in this life is relevant to you. For the Almighty has said of you, I desire for you to prosper and be in health. This is to all believers. If you are truly committed to the Almighty and truly seeking to serve Him, then that is what He desires for you, that you prosper and be in health. If you're not walking in prosperity and health, if you're in lack, in whatever shape or form that takes, then that is a strong indicator that there is almost certainly judgment working in your life. I'm assuming that you are actively working to earn a living, that you're not just sitting at home and waiting for money to drop through the letterbox. So I would say to you that anything that does not look like prosper and be in health is not from the Almighty and is not His will for your life. So I encourage you to stay with me on what I have to say in the next few minutes. The Almighty certainly does not want you to be in lack, so that in some perverse way you can be taught how to serve Him. If you are in lack, it is either because of your sin or your indolence. There's no other explanation. Continuing with how judgment in this life works. If you're an unbeliever and you're prospering and in health, then that says nothing about you other than that you're an unbeliever. So the satanic and demonic realm are quite content for you to prosper and be in health. If you're a believer in Jesus and you're prospering and in health, that also says nothing, because unless you're a true believer in the Almighty Creator, the satanic and demonic realm is very happy to have you in their clutches. You may be a believer at a fundamental level, but still believe in the wrong names, the Bible, etc., in which case you will probably be attracting the attention of the satanic realm and associated judgments. But if you're really lukewarm and doing very little, then that may not be the case. So let's have a look at how judgment in this life works. First of all, you have a guardian messenger or guardian angel from the Almighty, from Yah, who protects you and records everything that you do in a book, which will form the basis of your judgment at the end of your life. Everything you do is recorded. If you repent, it's struck out in the book. If you repeatedly sin, the repeated sins are recorded and they will be used against you. If you're a true believer, you are also watched by a satanic messenger, a satanic fallen angel, who is assisted by demons and other satanic messengers to lure you into sin and trap you in sin and error, and to report your sin and error to their hierarchy so that charges can be brought against you in the court of heaven at their convenience to suit their agenda. So whenever you commit a sin, demons associated with that sin are put upon you by this satanic messenger who's watching over you. So if you get into adultery, you will get demons associated with that adultery. The demons on your sexual partner will be copied and also put onto you in a process of transference of spirits. If you steal money, you will get demons that will encourage you to steal more. Whatever your sin, you will get demons associated with the sin that you commit. So if you start lying, you will get lying spirits that will encourage you to lie more. Important to understand, you can't get demons if you have no sin. if you sin, you will get demons. You may get the sins of the fathers passed down to the children. So you may get demons that are there because of the sin of your parents. But unless there's sin somewhere in the mix, you can't have demons. Then the satanic and demonic realm act as accusers or prosecutors to bring charges against believers to the court. They can also bring charges for unbelievers, but generally they do not do so unless they want to use the unbeliever to take part in the judgment of a believer. Why would the satanic realm seek judgments on the people who are serving them? So judgment in this life does not apply to the vast majority of unbelievers. And then important to realize that there is a court of heaven. We refer to the Almighty sitting on a throne. And that tells us that it's a place of judgment. There is a court of heaven presided over by the Almighty Creator, where all charges against believers are brought with a view to securing judgment against specific believers. As I said, the throne is a judgment seat. Then there is an advocate pleading on your behalf. Yeshua, commonly called Jesus, but incorrectly called Jesus, who pleads for mitigation of sentence, primarily for young believers and ignorant believers who've genuinely not had an opportunity to gain better knowledge, although this grace is greatly constrained since Satan was sent to the pit in 2003. In the case of mature believers, there is no grace whatsoever from Yeshua. You will pay the full price for your sin. There are jailers who are satanic messengers, and there are demons who execute the sentence handed down by the court. They actually go out and set up the accident, spread the disease, hinder the finances, etc. Important to understand that behind everything that's going on in the world, everything that you can see, there's this huge amount of satanic and demonic activity that is going on behind the scenes. There's a substantial amount of activity by the messengers, the angels of the Almighty around believers, but there's a huge amount of activity of demons and satanic messengers. Important to realize that Yah and his servants can also bring charges against believers, or for that matter, any person at any time. Generally, they do not concern themselves with unbelievers. Yah, the Almighty, is really only interested in the lot of believers, and particularly those who are trying to get close to him. Yah may also execute judgment by, for example, withholding the leading of his spirit in a very specific situation in order to bring about judgment. I'd like to go on and share a few examples of judgment in this life. For example, a believer trips, falls, and injures themselves because of pride. Happened in my life. I was going to speak at a conference, had a video camera slung over my shoulder, a tripod, a computer, and tripped over the corner of an exhibition stand, fell, couldn't stop myself falling, fell very, very heavily, hurt myself quite badly. I was limping for several weeks. And when I got home that night, I got on my knees and said to Father, what was going on there? What happened there? And he said, you're letting pride into your life. So that was an example of Father judging me for pride in my life. Remember that I've shared with you before that I pray regularly, Father, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. And I watch out for those sort of judgments and try and course correct as quickly as possible after they happen. Another example, a believer in adultery narrowly escapes death. A believer is committing adultery, maybe innocently. So, for example, if the church says that a woman is divorced, but she's not divorced in the court of heaven, and you marry her, that's still adultery. And that carries a death sentence. So in a case like that, Yah might grant a death sentence, but Yeshua might then petition for grace. And at the last minute, the accident proves to be non-fatal. The accident would be set up by satanic messengers, and the avoidance of fatality would result from the intervention of the person's guardian messenger, guardian angel, and possibly others of Yah's messengers. some other examples of judgment in this life. A believer tithing to an assembly in error is in lack. This occurs quite widely. Deeply committed believers have been told that they must tithe and give to their church. They go to a particular church and get a lot of benefit out of that ministry and give a tenth of their income before tax to that ministry. They may even give more. And they're being told that if they give, they will be that the Almighty is obliged to bless them, which is in fact not true. So you have the situation where people are tithing, and their finances are getting worse and worse, but they believe the lie that if they give 10% to the Almighty, He will give abundance in return. But if the assembly is in significant error and therefore by default at some level serving Satan, even while trying to serve Yah, the satanic realm secures multiple judgments against the believer on the basis that they are giving to Satan. Important to understand here that the satanic realm is quite prepared to use the benefits of its own servants as a basis for judgment. Note that in the case I'm referring to here, the believer concerned was energetically and earnestly seeking to serve the Almighty, but having been blessed in earlier years by their assembly, they fail to realize that they've outgrown the assembly and moved beyond it. The assembly is serving Yah at some level, but they're in significant sin and error. Very, very difficult for people to see, very difficult for people to realize. A few more examples of judgment in this life. Case of a believing woman still joined to the man who took her virginity and she's in lack. Woman gave her virginity in her youth and since has had many other men and become a committed believer. And subsequently become a committed believer. But no matter what she does, she is always in financial lack. It turned out that there was no basis to divorce the man who took her virginity. So in the sight of the court of heaven, she's still married to that man. And therefore her house is divided and she is in lack. In order to deal with this, she needs to obtain divorce in the court of heaven. And depending on the specific circumstances, there are specific prayers that need to be prayed. In the section on men and women on the website, there's a section called Separation of Men and Women, which has got teachings on what needs to be done and prayers that need to be prayed. Another example, a believer ruptures their tooth with intense pain for pride. So a believer in pride bites on a sand grain in an item of food, ruptures a facet off a molar tooth and is in agony and cannot get a dentist appointment to treat the situation for several days. The Almighty arranged for the sand grain to be in the item, for the item to reach the shop where the believer's wife routinely shopped, led her to buy the item and arranged for the specific sausage to end up on the believer's plate and for him to bite the sand grain in such a way as to rupture the tooth. In order for this to happen, there would be various interventions by the Almighty's messengers and maybe even interventions by demons and satanic messengers. It's really important to understand that judgment in this life can get down to quite a microscopic level of detail. Another example, a bankrupt sincere believer with a divided house, sincere believing family in financial difficulty, no money, about to lose everything. The spiritual house is divided. The wife and the husband cannot agree on diverse issues. Having divided the house, the satanic realms have secured numerous judgments against them to hinder their finances. This is one of the greatest drivers of financial lack amongst believing families. People do not realize that a divided house will fall versus a house in harmony will prosper if there's no other sin. Judgment in this case can be diverse. If the business of the family markets by email, the satanic realm can obtain a judgment for demons to distract all recipients of the emails from reading them, or if they read them, distract them with other concerns so they do not engage with them, or if they engage with them, distract them so they never follow through. Note that in practice with email or direct mail marketing, the satanic realm will block all of their servants, the unbelievers, from responding to such offers, so that only believers will respond if there's no hindrance. So response may be at best be very limited. it is really quite difficult for a really committed believer to make a good financial living in this age. And if that family is divided, if the husband and wife are in strife and argument, even if they're just holding conflicting opinions on different matters and just not agreeing, they can end up in a situation where there's huge lack. And I've seen over the years quite a substantial number of cases like this. A couple of examples of death curses. I mentioned previously the case of a woman who on her 21st birthday was sightseeing in the Rocky Mountains in the United States, climbed onto the railing of a bridge over a deep gorge and was about to throw herself off and kill herself when her husband grappled her back onto the bridge and pulled her into the car and took her for deliverance. And the demon that had led her to try and commit suicide declared that he had been following the bloodline for 13 generations, watching the oldest of each generation, and had finally arranged matters for the young woman and her husband to visit that national park in the USA, to go to that bridge on that day, to lead them to the bridge on her 21st birthday, induce her to climb up on the railing with the intention of casting herself off. Important to recognize is the curse was pronounced 13 generations ago, irrespective of the current spiritual state of the woman concerned. She was a believer. The sin was with the forefathers. There are prayers that can be prayed to deal with these things and to cut these curses off. Another example that I came across directly, family, woman, her son, her firstborn son, age of 21, killed in a motor accident. This was the third firstborn in the bloodline. So this woman's brother and brothers had also lost their sons in the 21st year. And what had happened, this was in South Africa, the grandfather of these three boys had angered a witch doctor, or angered an African man who had hired a witch doctor, who cursed the firstborn of the next generation to die in the 21st year. The situation was only recognized after all the firstborn had died. So we see the sin with the father vested onto the grandchildren. So that's about all I've got time for. Just to recap, we've had a look at who the commandments apply to and do not apply to. We've looked at various considerations in response to feedback to last week's message. We've looked at a recap of how judgment in this life works and some examples of how that works. And I want to say again, a friend is one who earnestly, intentionally, and actively keeps all of the commandments. And there's a lot more material on this on the website. I hope that I've challenged you on this. It's quite a difficult subject. People don't like to be told that they're in sin. People don't want to be told that there are these laws that they have to comply with. But as I say, if you are earnestly seeking to be a friend of the Almighty, then you will comply. I'd like to refer you to four key documents which are relevant to applying what you've learned from me. If you visit my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Behind the home menu item in the top left-hand corner of the website, if you hover your mouse there, you'll find a number of pages, one of which is The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. The second is Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Creator. The third is The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, which examines in depth the significance of the name Yah. The fourth is Where Will You Spend Eternity? what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. There are also books of teachings and a mailing list are available from me. I do mail regularly to people on the mailing list. There are a number of mailing lists. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's the same as the website, james@endtimeissueministries.org. And if you visit the website and click on the Commandments tab, you will find a lot more on the Commandments. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them as best I can next week. Please email me to join the mailing list. I am compiling a collection of my writings. Email me if you would like to obtain a copy, either in PDF format or as physical books. Those should be available, I hope, by the end of March. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I can't stress enough, this is not about you belonging to a particular people group, having a particular skin color, belonging to a particular race. It is available to any human being on the planet today, no matter where you are right now, to turn to the Almighty, ask Him for forgiveness of your sin, ask Him to take you under His covering and actively seek to draw close to Him. Take account of everything that I've said. Read all the material on the website. There's a huge amount of information there, answers to a lot of your questions. You're welcome to email me at any time if you've got questions. You've got my email address. And I really encourage you. The most valuable thing that you can do with the rest of your life is to turn today to seek a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. Put everything else on the back burner and focus on that. Make the necessary sacrifices, pray the prayers, follow the processes that are outlined in the documents that I've just quoted to you, and just get in and do it. It's there for you, and I encourage you to form a deep relationship with Father. Amen.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me, I know your unending love. I receive your favor, your unending love, not because I've earned it, not for what I've done, see?